The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
If you treat your faith like a seed, you'd plant it. And you'd plant it by saying it. Once you speak it, the soil of your heart grabs it. This is putting faith to work. You can't say what you see, you got to say what he said. When you say what he said, he can watch over his word and make it good. Now speak the word only. Faith is your servant. Now put him to work. This idea of faith, one is faith sees. Faith sees. There's a couple of places you can see for that. You can turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And over in 2 Kings chapter 6, he says, this is when Elisha and his servant Gehazi were surrounded by the enemy. It says here, verse 15, we just start there. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, master, how shall we do?" In other words, "I am scared." He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Glory to God. Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Now, question, weren't his eyes open to have him to see the enemy? Yes. But now he's saying, open his eyes. So it tells me we got a pair of eyes that most folk don't have open. And that's why they can't see anything. And I'm saying that open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. It didn't even say anything about round about unbelief, because the other guy had unbelief. It was round about Elijah. Now, those angels were there. They were there. They were positioned there by God. And this man of God saw them. Now, when you see them, true enough, you can see them with your spirit, but it's different from seeing them with your natural eyes. In your spirit, we call it, for the most part, discerning. Discerning, because it's another level of seeing. And that's why in the kingdom, you're not really taught by learning, you're taught by discerning. That's why the academic world can't compete with it. As a matter of fact, let's see, I put some things down here. The natural world is trying to compete with the spiritual world, and it can't do it. Because the tendency is to think that your intellect can get over into this, and it can't. It can't. Now you can see this verse when he talked about, I'll just turn to it for a moment, and talk about in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, he says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the what kind of things? Foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." Why? So that no flesh can glory in his presence. Now, thank God that you can go to a university or a high school or whatever have you, But you don't have to be smart to have faith. You better write that down. Somebody in here better write that down. You don't have to be smart to have faith. Now, this really bothers people who paid a lot of money for some big education. It really bothers them. And in matter of fact, it makes them somewhat jealous of it, because they have just spent all this money trying to be smart. And and I'm not really talking against academics now. I'm saying that's fine. But you'll find that you can't be too smart for God, because He's the one that put that brain in your head in the first place. And you're going to find that faith usually always puts you in a place of ridicule. It puts you in a position for people, if it doesn't work, to laugh at you. And so smart people don't want to be laughed at. They don't want to take any chances. They all got all kinds of risk formulas out there and so forth and so on. But God will give you a plan, and He doesn't even give you a backup, because the first one works. And so He'll just tell you what to do. I'm just saying, this is faith at work. And you and I all have been given the measure of faith. Put it up there, please. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So God, He doesn't talk much to smart people. I mean, you can have a PhD and God will talk to you if you don't think you that smart. I mean, you know, smarter than God is what I'm talking about. Because it is amazing how many schemes they can come up with. And the enemy wants you to do this. I put something down here. And one of his jobs is to keep you in the natural realm. And if he can keep you in that natural realm, he'll put a ring in your nose and lead you all over town. And the next thing you know, you're either going to run out of money or run out of time. Because that's what he specializes in. He keeps you in time. He can dominate you. Take him out of time, and he can't. I'm going out of time, and we'll talk about out of time in just a minute. Look what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think what? Soberly, according as God has dealt to how many men? Every man what? The measure of faith. All right, let's see whose faith it is. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, we see an account here of Jesus, and he has this issue with this fig tree. Verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, say to it, say it. Say it again.
Yes.
Now, it is an inanimate object. So it, you can speak to things that can't talk back. You can speak to problems. You can speak to trees. You can speak to storms. You can speak to disease. You can speak to it. Glory to God. Boy, that's worth something right there. That's worth coming right there. And Jesus said to it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. It didn't say the tree heard it. It said the disciples heard it. Now, I'm reading what it says here. He said in verse 19, and when the evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter calling to remembrance and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, Have faith in God. Now underline it. Have faith in God. Now, another way to say that is have the what? God kind of faith, right? But let me embellish that just a little bit more. Have God's faith. Have God's faith. Now, what he's going to do is give you his faith. Human faith is insufficient. You need God's faith. Now, when you have God's faith, you can do things. Come on now, I got to finish this sentence. You can do things just like your father when you have his faith, because his faith is what made all of this. His faith is what made all of this. Look, I'm coming back to that place. Just look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Just look at that. He said this, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Now, what is he saying? That which was seen didn't come out of something visible. It came out of something invisible. So God's faith was involved in manifesting this earth. His faith. Now he gave you his faith to manage it. Say amen to this. So what we have to do is we have to develop this faith. We have to learn how to use this faith, how to make faith work for us. Because if God is depending on us to steward this earth and to be fruitful, replenish, and multiply, so forth, he wants us to develop our faith. So we have to develop this kind of faith, the same kind of faith God has, we have. So now let's make this faith work for us the same way God made it work for him. And Jesus is demonstrating. So he released his words, filled with faith. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And the disciples not overheard, they heard it. Because he wasn't trying to make it so they didn't hear it. When he went in the house of Jairus, here's what he said when he showed up in Mark chapter 5. He said this, your daughter is not dead, she's just asleep. Now, if that in the natural didn't qualify for a lie, I don't know what did. She was graveyard dead. But he was operating on a higher level of truth. And the truth of God is the highest level of reality. Say amen to that. And I'm saying as he spoke that word, something happened. Now, why did it happen? Because he believed that what he said was going to come to pass. Stay with me now. He spoke it because he believed what he's going to say was going to come to pass. Now, what was the reaction of the people once he said it? What was the reaction? They what? They laughed at him. What is the reaction of people with you when you say stuff like that? They gonna laugh at you, but should that stop you from saying? I'm saying they don't know what they're doing. You know what you're doing. Now, what are you doing? When you do that, you're not looking linear. You're not looking in time, waiting on some time for something to happen. Because in the spirit, it has already happened. And only thing you're doing is going vertical. You're going up in the spirit and superimposing the invisible over the visible. I better come over here. You are going up in the spirit to something that has already been done before the foundation of the world and superimposing that over the visible. So that's why faith is always win. Now, if you ever go in the future, you've just looked linear. If you just look linear, you have just put faith in time. And if you put faith in time, then you're not vertical anymore. You are linear. And if you're linear, you're out of faith. You don't have faith. But when you know that it's already done, assurance inside of you that this deal is already done. Now, the only thing left for me to do is say it. Now, I gotta say it, because if I can't say it, God can't do it. So I got to call things that as though they, because they already are. Now, stop talking about debts paid. Stop talking about I'm gonna get my healing. Once the devil puts you in time, he can keep you in time. What you need to do is let go of time and understand faith is always. This is one of the biggest reasons why the Christian community is not benefiting from their own relationship with God and their sons as sons and daughters of Christ, of God, and having the benefits of that relationship. One of the biggest reasons. The biggest reason is the tense. It's the tense. They're still putting it in the future. It's already done. Now, not only do you have to say it's already done, you gotta believe it's already done. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And don't be trying to minimize it so that you, if it doesn't work, you don't look that bad, or trying to not work God too hard. Put it back up there.
Amen.
Because what God's got for you is the best.
Amen.
It what He laid up for you is the best. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Now, this is very important. Now, I'm just saying, you know, he doesn't have a lot of hand-me-downs up there. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but he does have some new stuff. When the prodigal son came back home, he said, "Bring me the what kind of robe? The best." He didn't say, "Bring me the one on sale." Now, that's all right. You can go down to sale, get one on sale. But see, when I start talking like this, see. What happens with faith? Faith converts your humanity to divinity.
Amen.
And what you got to do is understand that God is bringing you into a whole new dimension of seeing, speaking, and believing.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So what you got to do is come on in.
Amen.
Who was that? Bishop Oedipo. He said, "Nobody on my staff will ever tell me I don't have no money." He said, "If they do, it's the last time they'll tell me that." He won't even tell them. Well, how did he know? He got to figure out some other way to tell him, because he won't. Why? Because he wouldn't let that come out of their mouth. Now, listen. I'm talking about something now. I'm talking about one of the reasons why the enemy does not want you to clean up your speech. Is because his job is to keep you not believing what you say is going to come to pass. See, his job is to keep you into, "My feet are killing me. Oh, girl, I'm just dying to go." See, he's to keep you. That's where he's to keep you. Because he knows that if you check your speech and you believe what you say, then when you speak to that mountain, it's gonna move.
That's right. That's right.
The problem comes in when you've had all this corrupt communication all day, and all of a sudden here comes, boom, something happened in the house, and you're trying to speak to it. Well, your spirit is not trained now. It's hard for it to bring it forth. And so what you got to do is go back to that Bible, and he talks about no corrupt community, he talks about so forth, so, and you got to clean that thing up. That's why, one of the reasons why you saw the centurion And remember, the centurion came to Jesus. It's Matthew chapter 8. And he came to Jesus about his servant was lying at home, wherever he was, sick of the palsy. Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. He said, you don't need to come to the house. Just what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this. Because I'm a man under authority.
Amen.
And I got soldiers under me, and I say to those, go, and he goes, one, come, and he comes, and they obey me. So what is he saying here? He's saying, wait a minute, I respect words.
Amen. Yeah.
I respect words. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to watch. You've got to watch being around loose lips. Now, let me just tell you what I mean. You think about this. Joshua and Caleb came back and said something. And they said, let me get my note. They said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it, didn't they? Now look what happened, chapter 13 and verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. What difference does that make? See, what difference does that make if you're operating by faith? Faith commits God. He's looking for faith. The Bible says when they opened up that roof and let that man down, when Jesus saw their faith. Say amen to this. Those 10 lepers there were with Jesus, and next thing you know, they cried out. I mean, they were outside the gate. They said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They start going and start getting healed. Why? Because they had to show some faith. You can believe and sit there, and nothing will happen. But when you get up and start talking and walking, then something about to happen. It commits God. It obligates him. Sure it does. And look what he says here in verse 32. And they brought up an evil report in the land. Now, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and so were we in their side. Look at what it says next. And all the people, chapter 14, verse 1, of the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept at night. Now, why did they weep? Why did they weep? Unbelief, okay? Unbelief, that's good. But why did they weep? Words. What did words form? Pictures. Pictures. And I'm just looking at how many pictures are on TV about sickness. It is enough stuff going around. They got something for everything. I said, man, this medication thing is taking over. So I'm saying here, notice they said the wrong thing. Now the enemy is feeding vain imaginations into their thinking and try to make them see things. You treat your faith like a seed, you'd plant it. And you'd plant it by saying it. Once you speak it, the soil of your heart grabs it. This is putting faith to work. You can't say what you see, you got to say what he said. When you say what he said, he can watch over his word and make it good. Now speak the word only. Faith is your servant. Now put him to work.
Open your spiritual eyes and allow God to excite your imagination to see your greatest destiny. In Pastor Winston's dynamic teaching, Putting Faith to Work, To order on CD or DVD, contact us online at BillWinston.org or by phone at 1-800-711-9327. Faith is the key to the kingdom of God that opens the door of your unlimited potential when you enter by love. Plant God's word in your heart and keep it in your mouth. Now you can rest while putting faith to work. Order Putting Faith to Work today.
Today's powerful teaching is from our 2015 Faith Refresher. It's called Putting Faith to Work. Now, because we grow from faith to faith, we have this refresher to strengthen our faith, to see beyond the natural sense realm into a higher reality of the eternal where there is no time. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now this is the Amplified translation. Now faith is assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now that's a powerful definition of faith. So in the Spirit, everything you'll ever need has already been done, and faith can see it. Praise God. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we love you, and until next time, keep walking by faith.
Down through the years, there have been great men and women of even greater faith whose ministries and lives have impacted their generations and generations to come. Generals of faith who, for decades, stood firmly, feet planted on the Word of God, teaching and preaching the gospel to the nations. Not just with words, but also with mighty signs and wonders and the extraordinary demonstration of power through faith. The baton has since been passed. God has risen up a new army of generals. And for six power-packed, faith-filled nights, they are back. Dr. Creflo Dollar, founder and senior pastor of World Changers Church International. Kenneth Copeland, founder of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and one of America's most influential Hispanic and religious leaders. Bishop Tudor Bismarck, senior pastor of New Life Covenant Church in Harare, Zimbabwe. Dr. Jesse Duplantis, founder of Jesse Duplantis Ministries. Pastor Cash Luna, founder and senior pastor of Casa de Dios in Guatemala, and our very own conference host, Dr. Bill Winston, founder and pastor of Living Word Christian Center. Night after night, come hear the uncompromised Word of God to live and enjoy a victorious life as the generals take their rightful positions to destroy fear and ignite faith. Sunday, September 13th to Friday, September 18th at Living Word Christian Center. Join us for the 2015 International Faith Conference hosted by Drs. Bill and Veronica Winston. Get ready to win the war, armed with a faith that is unmovable, unstoppable, and unshakable.